Good morning. Today's reading is Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on a pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. Bless the reading of the word.
Please pray with me. O Lord, may the words of your mouth be our daily bread, and may the leading of your spirit become our way. In Jesus' name, amen. So I do want to sort of tell you beforehand that the picture that's up there, not really anything to do with what I'm going to talk about. It has nothing to do with cats looking for fish in a fishbowl. It is about temptation, though. I am talking about temptation.
Your cat.
It is not my cat. I would not torture a fish like that. Although my cat would actually probably be afraid of it. So, but like all of the lectionary readings for today deal in one way or another with temptation. So the Old Testament reading is the story of Adam and Eve in the garden, tempted by the serpent to eat from the fruit of the tree of knowledge. The psalm is a prayer of thankfulness for forgiveness after failing to resist temptation. In the epistle to the Romans, Paul reminds us all that we all fall short because of one man's failure to resist temptation, but we're also all made righteous because of one man's obedience to God. And then in our gospel, in the Matthew, we hear about Jesus being tempted in the desert. What really caught my attention in all of these stories was especially the situational differences between the Garden of Eden and the Jesus in the desert. Like the differences between Genesis and Matthew. So, like, Adam and Eve, they were in the Garden of Eden. They were in the midst of abundance. Like, they had everything they could ever possibly want or need. And then some. And yet they were still tempted by something else. Something new. Something shiny. And they just had to have it. Like, their temptation isn't in the midst of some sort of shortage or some sort of need. They had everything except. And it was that one tiny exception that led to the fall. In contrast, Jesus is in a pretty precarious situation. He's been fasting for 40 days. He's in the desert alone. And it's this scene of scarcity. There's lack of resources, there's suffering, there's loss. There's no tree of life. There isn't a cool stream of refreshing, hydrating water. There's nothing but the burning sun, dangerous animals, hunger, thirst. Need is everywhere around Jesus, and Jesus experiences it all. He experiences the despair, the loneliness, the fear. Some people might say, some people do say that this account is about Jesus and Jesus's temptation. It's not about our temptation. And at face value, I say yes. It is about Jesus's temptation. This isn't the way that we are tempted. We don't have Satan bringing us stones and telling us to turn them into bread, or imploring us to throw ourselves from U.S. Steel Tower to test God, or asking us to bow down before him so that we might be able to rule the world. But we do have less obvious temptations. We've got those moments when we look at others and we feel really insecure about not having enough. We make judgments about strangers or friends who make those really dumb choices that we don't understand. And our temptation is to look away from those who are in need and to just, you know, sort of live our lives unaffected by hunger and disease and poverty. We live in the Garden of Eden, and temptation flourishes here when we allow our temper to define our lives. When addiction to wealth and vanity or the need for control, like if when those things define who we are, temptation wins when we justify those little lies, those small sins, like a racist joke or a questionable business practice, when we criticize our partner when they're not around, and temptation just wins when we get so caught up in the trappings of life that we lose sight of life itself. Both the Garden of Eden, a place of abundance, and the desert, full of despair, those are both life circumstances seen side by side throughout the United States. We have food deserts, educational deserts, employment deserts, wage deserts. And these are things that affect millions of people in our state and all of our states and territories. It even happens right here in Pittsburgh. I was looking through this about food deserts and what does that mean? And the USDA says that there are 23.5 million people who live in food deserts. And almost half of those people are also low income. Now, a food desert it's kind of complicated to define, but let me try. It's basically when at least 33% of an urban population lives more than 1 mile from a supermarket, or more than 10 miles from a supermarket when you're in a rural population. That means that they don't have access to healthy foods. They don't have access to fresh fruits and vegetables. Even if they had the money to purchase them, there's nowhere for them to go to purchase them. The greater Pittsburgh area, that's all of Allegheny County. Wanna guess where Allegheny County ranks in the nation on food deserts? Second. We are second in the nation for the number of people impacted by low food access. I mean, when compared to other cities of the same size, right? That's almost 423,000 people in Pittsburgh. 18% of the population live in food deserts. I don't think I'm telling you anything new by saying that this inequality is due in large part to economic interests favoring wealthier sectors of society rather than attending to the needs of communities in precarious situations. It's also no coincidence that the places where these deserts occur most frequently are communities with higher concentrations of people of color, immigrants, and low economic resources. It's not an accident. It's estimated that in the US, 30 to 40% of our food supply is wasted. 31% of that is at the retail and consumer levels. We're talking about 133 billion pounds of food. $161 billion worth of food that's wasted every year in this country. People are hungry and they are malnourished, but it is not because there is not enough food to feed them. Those of us who are living in Eden, we continue to fall under the temptation of greed. We always want more. I'm no exception. And at the same time, millions of people continue to walk in endless deserts, scarce resources, and where promises of improvements and aid, those are really just cruel mirages. I'm not trying to make anyone feel guilty here. That's honestly, I know that's what you've heard Lent is about, but it is not. Lent is not about feeling guilty. That's not even what temptation is about. I know we're not purposely trying to extort from the poor, and I know, like, we certainly can't fix the problem of 24 million hungry people all by ourselves. But what I would say is that the church, like the big C church, like the big Christian church, everyone, we're all called to move beyond that temptation to stay cloistered within our individual walls. And we're called to see the deserts that are around us. And to take that step to acknowledge that there are people who are suffering. To surpass that temptation to ignore questions about what we're doing to turn deserts into Eden. To think about the ways we contribute to and perpetuate these deserts through our silence. There are a plethora of PCUSA projects established to create an oasis in the deserts. There's the Presbyterian Hunger Program, Presbyterian Disaster Assistance, the Committee for Self-Development of People. They're all drawing attention to the injustice of those deserts, and they're seeking to eradicate them. That's part of what One Great Hour of Sharing is about through Lent. And they're not just throwing money at the problems. They're engaging in dialogue, they're creating relationships, and they're doing those things in an effort to change the reality of the communities that are in need. So as we serve those nearby and far away, we engage those dark places of temptation in our own lives. We name them. As we name them and understand them, we can start to seek forgiveness. Again, Lent isn't about guilt. It's about growing closer to Christ so that we can let go of the fears and insecurities that control us, so that we can know that God is there beside us. We can survive this temptation by becoming angels in the deserts ourselves. Angels in the deserts of our own neighborhood, both as a community of faith and as individuals. Thanks be to God, we can survive temptation. Amen.